This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for Broadcasting and Cable Magazine and TVWorthWatching.com, in for Terry Gross. Friday Night Lights, the critically acclaimed NBC adaptation of the book and movie about a Texas high school football coach and his family, recently was renewed for a third season. Its second season comes out on DVD this week. Our guest today is Kyle Chandler, the star of Friday Night Lights. He plays Coach Eric Taylor, the no-nonsense father figure to a bunch of wayward gridiron guys in a small Texas town. And his concept of no-nonsense is exactly that.
Listen up. Got West to be in 2 days. I know y'all don't want another loss pinned on your asses. Quarterbacks and receivers are going to be with me today. Linemen on the boards with Mac. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
What's that?
No, sir.
I didn't hear you.
No, sir.
All right, let's go. Let's have some fun today.
Let's get out there.
Chandler appeared in the recent remake of King Kong, but his most identifiable roles have been on television. He played the World War II heartthrob in Homefront, a man who tries to change the future in Early Edition, and, most recently and memorably, the ill-fated bomb expert on Grey's Anatomy. The movie version of Friday Night Lights was directed by Peter Berg, who's also executive producer of the TV series. I asked Kyle Chandler what advice Berg gave the actors when they started shooting the pilot.
He told us, he said, look, know your dialogue when you come to the set. You've got to know your characters. If you don't know your characters, if you haven't created them, it's not going to work. You've got to know your characters 110%. And he said, the last thing is get ready to throw all the dialogue away. We might just throw it away and do new stuff. So right then, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, some actors freeze, some directors when they come, they freeze. But if you're ready for that and you want to just expand, it's the perfect fertile ground.
Now, your biggest fellow actress is Connie Britton, who plays your wife, Tammy, who came from the movie. So she already was familiar with both the character and maybe Peter's style of work. How did you guys bond initially? How did you get to a level field? Did she help you out? Did you not need the help?
I didn't need the help, and she didn't have to do anything. As soon as we met, it was clear that the casting was perfect. Initially, we shook hands, said hello, and within 10 seconds, we're already starting to barb on each other. We both have a very similar sense of timing and comedy, and we both love comedy. And, you know, there's not much of that in the show, but there's enough of it to create that relationship. And we realized one day that I can play the fool in front of Connie, and there's no problems. And she can always play the fool in front of me, and there's no problems. And the reason there's no problem is because on the show, when we do play the fool for each other, as actors, we never let the other one hit the ground. We always catch them right before they do. And it's very similar to a marriage. I've been married 12 years, and that's it. That, you know, no matter how angry we get with each other, no matter how hard we fight, it's okay because we know that we're always going to be together. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I'd like to play a scene that I think exemplifies this and shows some of the humor. It's from the first season of the show. You've had a problem with an air conditioning unit, and you meet with your wife in a diner, and she seems to have come up with a solution that you may or may not like.
You go first.
Okay. You want the good news or the bad news?
No, good news. Always the good news.
All right, I'll give you the bad news. AC, done. Like I said, we need a new unit, $3,000 minimum.
What's the good news? Our cold front moving in?
No, the good news is that I think I might be able to help you pay for the new unit because I think I got myself a job.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That fast
mm-hmm.
you got a job?
Yeah.
Where'd you get the job?
At the school.
What school?
At the high school.
At my high school?
I wasn't aware that you had bought it, but yeah, I'm the new guidance counselor at the high school.
You know, guidance counselors can be a nuisance, and that means
Eric,
that we're going to have some interaction.
Well, that's good. I like that we're going to have interaction. I think that's great that we're going to have some interaction.
Well, I just think that we should probably talk about it.
Well, I've taken the job already.
Well, gee, what happened to the consultation we were going to have? Hello, Coach Taylor.
One of the things about the role, one of the directions in which you go sometimes, is you're not afraid to be a jerk. which is very endearing, and for a TV heroic lead, fairly unusual. How much fun is that to play?
It's the greatest thrill in the world. I mean, even when I did Early Edition years ago, the fellow who gets the newspaper, a cat brings you a newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of that show, though, seriously, I was basically directed in the area of being the hero, being the man who goes out and saves the day. And I had big problems with that. Even as a young actor, I knew it was wrong. And I knew immediately, this guy hates cats, because it wasn't written that way. And I knew another thing, this guy does not want this responsibility. And that worked. It worked for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on this role, no one's perfect. No one's. I'd be lying if I was going to get on screen and be this perfect guy. I love falling. I love playing a role where I think I'm right, and then you learn you're not. And it's what you do with that information.
Right.
What do you do with it when you realize you're wrong? How do you say, I'm wrong, or I'm sorry, or this and that? And I don't want to make it too easy on them, but it's great to be wrong. It's great to be a jerk and then realize I was wrong. it's real life. I mean, it's fun. It's a joy to play.
There's one other clip that I want to play, and it's from the championship game episode from the first season. And here you are playing the coach, coming in and talking to your team, but your team is down at halftime, and you're confronting the team.
When Jason Street went down the first game of the season, everybody wrote us off. Everybody.
And yet here we are at the championship game. 40,000 people out there have also written us off. There are a few out there who do still believe in you. If you'll never give up on you. You go back out on the field, those are the people I want in your minds. Those are the people I want in your hearts.
Every man at some point in his life is going to lose a battle. He's going to fight and he's going to lose. But what makes him a man is that in the midst of that battle, he does not lose himself. This game is not over. This battle is not over.
So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go!
Your reaction?
Well, I've got chills, to be quite honest. That quiet speech followed by those kids in there with can't lose. It's the perfect setup for the scene. We were up in Dallas shooting that, and I had the flu. I was sick as a dog. I remember Pete Berg coming down on the field to say hello to me, and he just walked away because everyone knew. So I do remember doing that scene. It was a daze. I was in a daze, actually. But right before that clip went on, I was thinking the one thing that allows me to do so much on this show is honesty. And this is a very honest show. There's a reality to it that comes out of me quite easily. I think that's what makes that scene, because out of my honesty, those kids have the honesty, and they're sharing it right back with me.
In terms of your acting career, I guess other than Friday Night Lights, the thing for which you're most famous in the last few years anyway, was your appearance in a two-parter on Grey's Anatomy, where you played a bomb expert that was brought in to rescue the character of Meredith.
Yeah.
I understand that led to you being cast in Friday Night Lights. I'm not sure whether it's because the casting director for both shows are the same or because Peter Berg was floating around there, who was one of the executive producers. Do you have a story about that before I play a fast clip and ask you a question about that?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I want to say when I went to do that, I was very, very nervous. And it was outside the door of the studio that I stopped and literally closed my eyes and talked to myself and said, listen, you can go in here and you can be nervous and you can do it that way, or you can get yourself together and realize you can go in here and do a great job and get your mindset. And I literally forced my mind to go to the ladder and it was great, enjoyable. I left my fears at the door. That alone was a great accomplishment for that whole experience.
Let's play a clip from Grey's Anatomy, and this is your character who is exuding a lot of confidence in taking Meredith down a hospital hallway as she has her hand inside a patient, and she's holding an explosive device that if she lets go of it, chances are the whole hospital is gone. So let's play.
You're doing great.
Let's go over it again.
The device is shaped like a rocket. 8 inches long. We're gonna have everything ready. Dr. Burke's team is gonna be in place. My team is gonna be in place. And I'm gonna ask you to take the hand that you have in Mr. Carlson. Wrap it around the device.
And pull it out.
Level. Pull it out while keeping it level.
You know, I don't like you very much.
I don't like you either.
What memories do you have of shooting that or the impact of that role?
Well, I don't know. First of all, I have to say seeing it is one thing with the dialogue, with the visuals. But without the visuals, that sounded rather risque, I must say. Holy cow. that was a really interesting experience doing that show because, you know, I think it was right during the Emmy season when I was working on it. So, you know, you've got this show that's so popular. It's an Emmy show, and you've got all these actors that are entrenched in their roles on the show. So you really have to carve out your own niche. I think it's the first, since like China Beach or something, it was the very first guest starring role I'd done within 10 or 12 years. I mean, that's a whole other job coming on guest starring on a show.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that real quick. But as well, those people not only work hard long hours over there, but you know, they're working in a hospital, and after a few days I felt I was in a hospital. I actually poured one cup of coffee I had down a water fountain drain on the set, and it fell on my feet because it's just a hollow tube underneath. I thought it was a water fountain. You get to think you're living in a hospital. So you know, I think the crew takes on a complete different sense of humor, I think, because they work in a hospital every day.
Our guest is Kyle Chandler, who plays Coach Eric Taylor on NBC's Friday Night Lights. For a television star of one of the best shows on TV right now, you're kind of an enigma. I mean, you've starred in other TV shows and you've starred in movies, but we don't know as much about you as we do about a lot of people who are at this level. So your father, according to the biographical material I've been able to read, was one of the things that he did was he was a farm owner, and your mother was a dog breeder. this sounds like no matter where you went as a kid, you were hit with chores. Is that true?
When we moved down to Georgia, we owned 22 acres of land. About 7 of it was pasture. We had we went from Lake Forest, Illinois, which is not a farming community, by a long stretch. And my father, He bought this piece of land. They'd always raised and showed, they showed Great Danes. They've always had Great Danes. They were very successful with the breeding and the showing of them. Hence, I was always in a motorhome traveling around the country going to these dog shows as a kid. as well, down there, we had a boarding kennel. So the responsibility of 22 acres with a boarding kennel, a business, and there were a lot of chores, a lot of responsibilities, and I did the best I could to keep up with them, yes.
What about your own high school experience rings true to you, even though it's a different generation? What do you remember? I know you played high school football for a couple of years and you've downplayed your abilities, but what do you remember about the other players and the coaches and just the other students in general?
High school was interesting because I went from a public school, middle school, to an academy where the first year we were doing Latin, chemistry, biology. I was woefully unprepared for the type of study. At any rate, it was halfway through that first year of school as well that my father passed away. However, he did get to see that year. I played football for the very first time. I was the smallest fella on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the state championship. So I've got to experience something that very few people get to experience. I didn't play. I was rather small and very heavy. However, I put my 2 cents in worth, and the joy of winning that state championship, I felt just as much of my sweat was on the field as anyone else's. And it was just an incredible feeling of accomplishment. And it truly, it was a proud moment. And the things that I learned out on that football field, again, lessons that you just don't forget. You know, the guy who reaches down and picks you up and says, "Hey, good job," even though he's 6'2" and just knocked your helmet off your head. it makes you feel good. You learn lessons about yourself. You learn about yourself, what you can give and how far you can go. High school itself was just like any other high school. I was completely, I was lost. I wasn't one of the cool people. I wasn't, you know, I always felt more comfortable being the quiet outsider, especially after my father died. And that seclusion and that quietness, I think, might be the reason I do what I do and I understand a little bit better what I do.
If this is too sensitive a question, just tell me. But I'm wondering if at that age, when you lose a parent, if you have to make a conscious decision to decide how to act to the people around you, to your friends, to the people who don't know you, to your relatives, and if that isn't some sort of the most horrific kind of acting choice.
I would go a step further and say that you try to figure out how to act with people so many different times in so many different ways that in the end, you're not quite sure how you're acting, but that's the choice. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That I can remember now thinking about it, trying to figure out how to act, how to be. Because not only do you lose a parent, and it's such a shock. I was in a new world for not very long before I lost him. I'm 14 at this point, 14 years old, a boy loses his father. There are worse things in the world by far, but it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And I never knew how to be a man. I didn't have a figure to bounce off of. My mother, a wonderful woman, just can't take the place of that. My brothers and my sister were moved on. So I was always trying to figure out how to act, how to be. And I was always very conscious. It made me very, very self-conscious. And I was also far more introspective, and I was far more curious about observing others and how they did it.
We're talking with Kyle Chandler, who plays Coach Eric Taylor on NBC's Friday Night Lights. You talked early when your dad died when you were a kid about not really knowing, you know, how to be a father or at least what a father was providing for those years. And then here you are on a television show where your relationship with your TV daughter is so important and you're a father figure to so many kids on the team. And I'm wondering how you learned that, how you approached that. And then now that you have, daughters who are 11 and 5, how that's fed your real life.
Look, I am a father. And there's no way, no one gives you a book on how to be a father. I've learned that. I remember my coach from high school, and I remember many coaches, and I've been down there and I've met many coaches, and they are figures of extreme importance and authority. Once I, Kyle, strap on that Southern accent, and I'm a coach out there, and I'm dealing with kids who I'm responsible for. One of the coaches I met, literally when I was studying the role, I was holding his baby in my arms, and we were barbecuing. They allowed me to come over to their house, and he gave me the biggest hook into this whole role I have. And he said, "Look, no one's going to coach. No one's going to be a good coach. No one wants to coach, except for one reason: because you love the kids." And that was a complete lock for me. I mean, I'm in. Mm-hmm. You love the kids. So there I am. Now I get to play with, you love the kids, but what's more important when it comes down to it? Is it winning or the kids? Because if you don't win, your family's going to get kicked out of town. So you've got all these dilemmas that come up. There's so much to this role that I'm playing. It's so much. I can go anywhere with it. I've lived a little bit of it, and I sense a little bit of it, and I practice with a little bit and step out and see what happens with it.
All right. Well, Kyle Chandler, thanks very much for being on Fresh Air.
It was a pleasure to be here. I love your show, and thank you so much.
Kyle Chandler, star of the NBC series Friday Night Lights. The DVD box set of the show's second season comes out tomorrow, and the third season will premiere in the fall on DirecTV, then be shown on NBC. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air.